CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. To the Pentagon, its opinions of commercial space. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black. At Deputy Secretary Kathleen Hicks's direction, the department is currently developing our first DoD commercial space integration strategy in order to drive integration and ensure the availability of commercial space solutions during competition, crisis, and conflict. Bob, a very good evening to you. What's the heck's going on in the Pentagon? What have they done? Have they discovered commercial space? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Yep, that's exactly right. I guess somebody, including Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks, read finally my 2017 policy paper, Capitalism in Space, which says the government should stop trying to design and build everything. It should instead just simply buy as a customer from the commercial industry what it needs. Let private enterprise compete for contracts with their own creations and let them own it. And therefore, you'll get lots of innovation and cheap and inexpensive development quickly. And the military for years has been building its own space hardware, increasingly done badly, at great cost and many delays, so that they really aren't ready. They don't get their stuff in space. And so one of the reasons Space Force was designed to focus the military in this direction, get away from building its own stuff, because a lot of people in the Pentagon wanted to switch to commercial space, but was getting resistance. And the Space Force was designed to help them get around that resistance. And so it does appear now, and I have a post on Behind the Black about this, and two different stories. One, the Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hur has instituted a policy, as you delineated, John, which says they're now no longer going to build things. They're going to look to the commercial industry to provide them what they need, buy it as a customer. But there's a second story that proves the point. The military announced a request for proposals from 20 different commercial space companies to provide it all of its military needs in orbit. This includes weather, communications, maritime detection, surveillance, reconnaissance. They're looking to private companies to provide this for them. And, you know, they've already learned in the Ukraine that private companies were providing them material much better than they ever could, both the radar and optical satellites in orbit from private companies were providing reconnaissance and surveillance data, and Starlink suddenly arrived with great communications data. And so they're now going all in with capitalism space, and that's a great thing. It'll mean that the military, it's going to be a good news for both commercial space and the military. First, the commercial space will get a lot of contracts, and they'll be able, on the competing to, and they'll therefore, which will force them to innovate and grow. And on the same time, the military is going to get what it needs more quickly and at much lower cost. So that's also good for the taxpayer.
Commercial space is SpaceX. SpaceX is Starlink. Starlink news in Israel, always in the news, Bob. Musk shows up wherever there are cameras. And he's in Gaza, which is puzzling. What's happened?
Well, first, I want to point out that SpaceX is beyond boring. Launched another 23 Starlink satellites this week. This was the 87th launch from SpaceX this year, which makes them launching more than everyone else in the world combined, excluding American companies. Essentially, they are American space right now, which is not a good thing. You don't want to have one company dominate. I really wish some other companies would get in the game and start to compete with SpaceX aggressively. It would help us for sure. But this launch was interesting in that the first stage completed its 17th flight. And what's interesting is that no one was interested. This isn't considered news anymore, and that's really the story. They've gotten really to a point where they are doing what Musk wanted to achieve a decade ago, which is the rocket, Falcon 9 rocket, is now performing like an airplane. It's routine. We don't even pay attention to it anymore. As for Gaza, Elon Musk went to Israel this week to meet with Netanyahu and also to negotiate with the Israeli government on a variety of things. And one of the things he did is he negotiated a deal with the Israeli Ministry of Communications to activate Starlink over both Israel and Gaza, allowing Israel to use Starlink for military purposes. At the same time, I should also point out that Musk's company that he runs, Tesla, also announced that Israelis can now charge their cars for free on Tesla charging stations. So Musk is making it very clear he's pro-Israel. He also said that we have to do something about Hamas, get rid of them. We can't allow anti-Semitism on X, his formerly Twitter. And his action here is partly putting a lie to the slanders of a lot of leftist organizations that accuse him of being an anti-Semite, because he simply noted the leftist bias of the Anti-Defamation League, which has been made worse by its effort to censor and blackball people. He pointed that out. That wasn't anti-Semitism. That was speaking truth. And so that slander, he's now putting a lie to it by going to Israel and providing aid to Israel. That's part of the reason he went.
What is Eutelsat? Now that sounds like the EU. Tel, that would be telephone, and sat would be satellite. That's a very long way around of saying, what is this, another constellation?
Eutelsat, John, is a really old company. It's a geosynchronous satellite company. It's a European company that provides satellite communication services for many decades in Europe. It's kind of a government operation, you know, yeah. that's private.
It sounds like the 19th century, Bob. It's just
it's the 20th century. You know, that past century, it's a government operation, kind of like Ariane Space in European Space Agency. And, of course, it has had problems because all these new constellations from private companies are taking business away from it. So recently it merged with OneWeb, one of those constellations. And so that's now a merger of Eutelsat and OneWeb. And in a sense, they're two types of satellites complementing one another. So it was a good merger, I think. It makes that company more valuable. They have now gotten a license approval in India, which is interesting because OneWeb is half-owned by an Indian billionaire. So there's personal local interest in India for helping OneWeb. But it's interesting, too, because Starlink has also now gotten a license in India. So it's very clear the Indian government wants competition in India, even competition against people, its own people. It's recognized that the competition is more important than favoring one or the other. You're better off having many companies competing. Everyone will benefit at that point, and that's the good thing. So OneWeb's going to be providing internet service in India, same as Starlink, and Eutelsat is now part of that, so that keeps the company from dying, essentially, John.
NASA. This is a NASA story. NASA laser using a laser for data communication. From where?
From beyond the moon. One of the things that engineers have been trying to develop for the last decade or so is, you know, we use on Earth, we now use optical cables to transmit information, because using an optical cable which is essentially the same as a laser in a sense. Using light to transmit information has much greater bandwidth, can provide a lot more data for the same amount of speed. So you can get, it's basically faster in a sense. And they've been wanting to do this in space. You wouldn't use cables, but you use a laser to transmit the data from point A to B. And they've done a lot of tests successfully in low Earth orbit, both the United States and China and others. But NASA's put a laser communication experiment on its asteroid probe Psyche. And then in mid-November, it did a test. As Psyche was traveling away from the Earth beyond the moon, they beamed data back and forth from Psyche connected to the Palomar Observatory in California. And they were able to successfully transfer data with a laser beam. And this is a big deal. If in the end they can get this to work, it will make it possible for a lot more data to be transmitted from space to and from. It will help possibly replace or at least supplement the deep space network of antennas, which is really being pressed by the amount of planetary projects that are going on. So having a better way of communicating from point A to B in space using lasers is a very important thing. And they've now done it beyond the moon, John.
Blue Origin. This is Bezos. I see that he's selling Amazon stock. I see that he's feeling liberated. Lots of publicity. Blue Origin is his creation. It is not now part of the story of commercial space successes. You're reporting on an expansion of its Huntsville facility. When is it going to fly, Bob?
That is a good question. They say next year the new Glenn orbital rocket will finally take off. That will be 4 years plus behind schedule. They announced that they're doing they've obtained a $8.4 million building permit in Huntsville to expand their engine manufacturing facility there, rocket engine facility. This is the facility that's supposed to be making the BE-4 engine that both the New Glenn rocket and ULA's Vulcan rocket need. And up to now, the problem has been that they've shown no ability to manufacture that rocket on an assembly line basis. And they need to do that for both those rockets to have enough engines to fly. Since neither of those rockets at this point are reusable, so every engine they fly will be expended. And they need to build more and more to get enough launches off. This expansion tied in with the recent shakeup of Blue Origin's management, thank God, after many years of no production, suggests to me that maybe Jeff Bezos is getting involved here finally. He's moved to Florida. He's announced he's moving to Florida. Further suggests he's getting very much involved. And I hope that's the case, because right now Blue Origin is nothing but a joke in the space industry, because they've been sitting, spending billions of dollars and literally accomplishing nothing. It's disgraceful. I mean, Bezos has wasted, I can't tell you how much billions he's wasted. He hasn't gotten anything in orbit. Remember, Blue Origin was formed almost the same moment that SpaceX was formed. SpaceX has now launched, what is it, almost 300 times, a reusable rocket, or more than 200 times, has had planetary missions, you know, Falcon Heavy, it's building Starship, and Blue Origin has literally put nothing into orbit in that same period of time. So it's hopeful that this expansion is a signal that maybe something is beginning to happen at Blue Origin. We'll just have to wait and see, John.
You missed one comparison, Bob, that it's not fair-minded of me, but what the heck? North Korea launches a spy satellite before Bezos flies. Bob.
It's the truth. I made the comparison about Blue Origin versus Tiny Astra, this now almost bankrupt rocket company that's out of the rocket business right now, that's just trying to survive. But they've put more payloads into orbit than Blue Origin has. And they have less than $100 million to work with, and even less than that. And Blue Origin's had probably about $4 billion of Bezos' money obtained by selling Amazon stock, and they haven't put anything in orbit. We should just hope that finally something is going to happen. As I mentioned earlier, we need competition to SpaceX. It's not good that SpaceX is so dominant. I want companies to be competitive here.
I can't remember. Is Ariane 6 government-owned or private?
Yes. Ariane 6 is supposedly privately owned by a consortium called Ariane Group. When the European Space Agency first announced it was going to replace the Ariane 5 rocket, it wanted an Ariane 6. It wanted Airbus to build it with other contractors. And Airbus teamed up with another company, its contractor Safran in Europe, formed Ariane Group, and said, we won't build it unless we own it and control it. We don't want you to control it, the government. We want to control it. And the government kind of agreed. But in the process, it also demanded the design, a final say on design, which meant it wasn't reusable. So Ariane 6 is privately owned, but somewhat controlled by the government in Europe. And that's one of the reasons it's too expensive and hasn't been able to get a lot of customers. However, the story here is that they've now completed a full 7-minute engine test of Ariane 6's core stage in French Guiana. They've completed that, which means that's a full core stage firing. In other words, if they were doing a launch, this was how long that core stage would fire, for 7 minutes. And it was successful. They did a dress rehearsal countdown, they fueled it, and they fired it. Static fire held to the launch pad, but it fired for 7 minutes. So they now have that completed. According to the European Space Agency, there's only one more engine test necessary on Ariane 6's upper stage before that rocket will finally be ready to launch in the spring. Since the retirement of the Ariane 5 rocket in July, Europe has no large rocket to launch anything. They were supposed to have an overlap between these two rockets, because Ariane 6 is so far behind schedule, they ended up with no rocket at all, with a gap. They're hoping by next year Ariane 6 will fly, but I will point out once again, it is not competitive, it is too expensive, it is not reusable, and so therefore its lifespan is going to be relatively short, because they're going to want to replace it.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring, or not, we're going to China. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bachman.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Bachman.